What's good, everybody? First, before you listen to this podcast, I just want to say I love you guys and just appreciate with all my heart. I hope everybody's doing super well. I also want to talk about the new hit show, Tea with Gary Vee, every morning, 9 a.m. Eastern on Facebook Live, facebook.com/Gary. Tea with Gary Vee, 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., 2 hours of me doing Q&A with people individually, the deepest in-depth that I've ever done, more than Ask Gary Vee. I'm super excited about it. It's on facebook.com/Gary every morning at 9 a.m. Eastern. It's a smash. If you go on social media, people are freaking out. Maybe my best content pillar ever. If you want to get your questions on it, you can ask at 212-931-5731 on my community app. That's where we're taking the questions from. And what I mean by that is you ask the question there, use hashtag T with Gary V, and then somebody from my team goes in there and contacts you and actually gets you to be in the prompt for asking the question on the show in video form on Zoom, which is the infrastructure I'm using to then distribute out to Facebook. T with Gary V, the new smash hit show, 9 to 11 a.m. Eastern. West Coast, wake up at that 5:45 time, brush your teeth and get on it. We got a lot of West Coast people on it. Hope you enjoy it. Hope I see you there. Love you guys. See ya.
This is the Gary V Audio Experience.
Yeah, okay, it's T with Gary V. Sipping in for free. I know patience is the key. Putting out all of my shit for free. This is T with Gary V. Might go make a flip. Take a risk.
What was end so abruptly? You know, always ends so abruptly. Hello, everybody. I'm sorry I'm 5 minutes late. Just had an executive call. It is April 22nd. I am Gary Vaynerchuk. This is Tea with Gary V. Dustin on the ones and twos. Let's get it going. Please share the URL on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube. Tag some friends. Let's get some new friends in the mix. Let's get into the show. Wow. Hi, Jules.
Hi, are you there? Nice to see you.
It's great to see you. This is fun. How you doing?
I'm really good. How are you doing?
I'm really well. Thank you for asking. Good. Family's well? Everybody's hanging in?
Yeah, we're in the mountains in Colorado, and I'm natural recluse, so I'm doing good.
I'm glad. Yeah. My team was trying to keep this a secret, but I saw something, so I knew you were coming, so I'm super excited that you're here.
Right on. I appreciate it. Likewise.
You have any questions?
Not particularly.
Good. You gonna play a little music?
Yeah. Go ahead. Are we on and live? Sorry.
We are on and live.
Cool. Yeah, I've been just thinking about how are people doing. When I look at this pandemic, I really see it as this threefold thing. I see the virus is obviously one pillar, and then economic fallout, which I don't think we've quite gotten a grip on of what that's gonna be, and then the mental health fallout. Suicides
really
tend to nearly double during recessions, and that's never been during a pandemic or during isolation. Suicide hotlines are up 300%. I have a youth foundation where all we do is help kids with suicidal ideation. What have you seen in your comments and in your fans talking about their anxiety?
That I think a lot of people are struggling. And so I have seen a little bit of a silver lining. I've spoken to a couple people who are getting help through this kind of interaction through video, which they thought, similar to me with meetings, they thought they needed to be in the room with their person, whoever that may be, and they've been able to get the value through this, which makes it feel scalable, which one fan who I've gotten friendly with, you know, now feels that she can travel because she can do it on the laptop versus being in the room. And so, like everything, there's always the pros and the cons, but yes, there's a lot of anxiousness, and I think to your point, the ramifications on the economy post this, there's a lot of people out of jobs, / consumer behavior will change forever. So, what don't we know? You know, what don't we know that has changed forever in retail, in restaurant, in travel? I mean, you can imagine a world that even 24 months from now, travel is down 20 to 35%. Or hotels or conferences.
Yeah.
So there's just a lot. There's a lot.
Yeah, my main concern is trying to help people. We're going to come out of this one of two ways. We're going to be more resilient, more capable. We're going to say, these are ideas that no longer serve me, beliefs and systems and functions.
That's real.
These are ones that are going to replace them because I've used this time to be really thoughtful. Or people are going to become so anxious and so worried, which is understandable. But if we don't understand what to do with worry and anxiety, it's going to escalate into pathologies. And I could foresee a world where many people come out of this more afraid, more scared, more disempowered.
They will for a certain period of time in certain ways. You know, I mean, look what 9/11 did to a lot of people. Completely changed their frameworks, their political views, their anxieties. So yeah, I mean, this is a real world event. This will be talked about hundreds of years after we're gone. So this is real stuff. This is real stuff.
Yeah, for me, with the kids, so I've been working with kids for 18 years, the youth foundation called Inspiring Children. And I give them a toolkit of mindfulness and motion tools. So mindfulness has two components in my eyes, meditation, which is one. And then you have to create exercise. It's like the gym. If you go to the gym, you build a muscle, that's great. But unless you use that muscle during the day, it's not going to change your life. Meditation is the same way. Meditation actually builds a muscle. They've learned in 8 weeks it can grow new folds in your frontal lobes and shrink your amygdala where anxiety lives. But if you don't put that muscle to work, it isn't going to change your life. So the tools that I developed, I actually developed them while I was homeless, but they were recently proven to work by a neuroscientist named Dr. Judson Brewer to help rewire your brain thanks to neuroplasticity, which is just a fancy way of saying you starve old habits and you build new ones. So the kids and I put the tools up on a free website called jewelneverbroken.com.
Jewelneverbroken.com?
Yeah, jewelneverbroken.com. And it's free 3-minute exercises that actually will help rewire you. And one of the main things I wanted to just, because I know we don't have a ton of time, but I just wanted to kind of put this in people's ears, that there's only two basic states of being. There's dilated and then there's contracted. Both are important, but when you do them at the wrong time, it can be really uncomfortable. So joy, gratitude, curiosity, observation helps you dilate, relax. And that's actual neurological, neurotransmitter, and vascular. Everything changes. Contraction is anxiety, fear, doubt, anger, yep, etc. And you can't be in two states at once. So the best hack that I ever learned for anxiety for me when I was homeless, my car I was living in got stolen. It was awful. I was having panic attacks, agoraphobia. And I learned that if I was heading into a highly anxious state, I could feel my whole body constrict. I just had to profoundly make myself have a thought or a feeling that dilated me. And I always used gratitude. Your vascular system dilates, your neurotransmitters change. It's really profound. And no matter how little you have, there is something to be grateful for. So there's an exercise that kind of helps you practice that on the website. But I wrote a song called Grateful just because I felt like that was the medicine that
I'm a fan of that word.
Helped me. And I know you're big on gratitude. By the way, what you're doing with the All In is incredible. That's amazing. It's been so awesome.
It's been really fun. I think I want to enter all those raffles. So, you
know. I know. Right, I'm going to step up my game. Like, I don't even know what I can offer. That's cool. There's such cool packages.
I'll hit you up after this. You could do amazing things. You could have the one. Can you play a little bit of it? And then I'm going to get to some of the questions before I get off.
Yep.
Thanks, Jewel. This is fun.
When everything's wrong and I can't find my song, when darkness is all I see, there is a remedy. 'Cause it's all the little things that make the world go round. It's all the little things that are almost powerful. There's no politician, no scout to die. No one can take the love from my heart, and the sun gonna shine in this heart of mine. The sun gonna shine in this heart of mine. The sun gonna show its strong, 'cause I can always be grateful.
Too good. Too good. You are so amazing. Jewel, thank you so much for being on. Let's throw that website up one more time, Dustin. Jewel, what's the website one more time for everybody?
Jewelneverbroken.com. And I just launched the song, Grateful, if people want to check it out.
We are going to check it out. Jewel, love you. Take care of yourself. We'll talk to you. Bye-bye. Man, if I could sing, I'd be on a whole nother level. I was just listening to that. I was like, fuck, man. Anyway, let's keep going. Fun way to start the morning. Gino.
Gary.
What's good, bro?
Good morning, man. How you doing?
Good morning. I'm really well. What can I help you with?
Had a question for you, man. So I'm an artist. I was always an artist. That's kind of how I got into music. But recently I started to songwrite, like to kind of break in the industry. And I've had a lot of success, like multi-platinum. Things are going really well.
That's awesome, bro.
Hey. But recently, we decided to kind of kick off the artist thing and go full in on that. I recently dropped a record. And so I'm kind of shifting my focus back into being an artist, but I don't want to lose the songwriting momentum. So I guess my question is
both,
right?
You have it in you.
Yeah.
Like people think about things in theory. Like there's a theory that if you're not all in on one or the other, you can't pull it off. When that makes no fucking sense.
Right.
Like I'm running the most successful, fastest growing agency in Madison Avenue, which is hardcore shit. It's competitive. I'm competing against multi-billion dollar companies. And I'm building one of the most prolific personal brands. There's so many people that want to be Gary B on social media that's all they do. Yet it's the minority of what I do. I spend most of my time being an actual executive.
Right.
And launching Empathy Wines and helping my dad with wine techs. And, you know, like you've got that in you, you know? Like if you wake up in the morning, you feel like you want to write something, boom. If you want to go in the studio and keep that song for you, boom. If you want to give that song to the baby, boom. Like there is no fucking rules.
Right. Right. Yeah. Yeah.
It's in your head. Or people around you saying, yo, if you don't go all in on one thing, you're gonna have your ass on two toilets and you're not gonna be able to pull it off.
Yeah, I think a lot of it is like, it's not so much a concern that I can't do both, because I know I can. I've been doing it. I think a lot of it is just trying to find the balance of like, because I'm doing like 6-7 sessions a week on the writing tip. So yeah, I don't know.
Do four.
Right.
Let's talk about writing. You know, it's one song.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know? So, yeah. Bro, you know, it's not seven songs a week.
Right.
It's right. You write one fucking banger that changes your whole life forever.
Right.
Right?
Facts. Yeah.
So I think you're judging yourself for no reason. Do whatever that feels right. You want to go 3 straight weeks on a fucking binge writing tour? Mazel tov. You want to go in the fucking booth for a month? Good. You want to do one day? My biggest issue that I'm trying to change in the world is people judging themselves. Just do what the fuck feels right.
Yeah. Let me ask you, do you, okay, so you're running so much shit at once. Are there like periods where you prioritize something like, all right, I got to go in on this today. Like I got
to
go.
Yeah. Like today I have to do a call with my London office to look at their finances. So Tea with Gary Vee is not 9 to 11, it's 9 to 10.
Right.
I prioritized the London office.
Yeah.
I was 5 minutes late for this. I prioritized my epic call with the Tracer team, Tracer.tech, if you're looking at some software to help you with your social, if you're a big company. So, you know, like I prioritize every fucking second. But I don't make some master plan and write it on a paper and think this is going to be my next 400 days.
Yeah.
Everyone had a 5-year plan until some lady ate a bat in China and fucked it all up.
Right.
What happened to your fucking 5-year plans now, everybody? What happened to your fucking 5-year plan now? Some lady ate a bat in China and fucked your shit up. On some real shit. That would be like a joke that I would make a year ago to talk about don't make 5-year plans.
Yeah.
Yeah, prioritize daily, not yearly, not in the macro, not on a fucking Excel sheet, not on my fucking pad. I live it.
Right. I think that's been the blessing of, if there is that, of this whole thing is like, if I don't feel like doing it today, if I wake up and I'm like, I'm not inspired, I don't force it. I do something else that, you know.
Give back to your audience. Right. Yeah. Don't force, but don't lay in bed and just dwell on everything. Do something.
Yeah. Don't be a problem. Yeah.
That's right.
Word.
All right, my man. Stay well. Sir.
All right.
Let's go. Gino in the building. I like him. Joel, how are you?
Great. How are you doing?
I'm quite well.
Good.
It's great to see you.
Yeah, good to see you. I enjoyed reading a little bit in your biography about how as a child you became an entrepreneur. I had the same experience. I was 11 when I started my first business.
I love that. What were you doing?
I was delivering fresh vegetables that I'd grown around the neighborhood. I hired my little brother to take them around the neighborhood in a red radio flyer wagon.
I love that. I love that. How you been hanging in?
Pretty well, all things considered. I mean, the airline industry is a tough one. I'm in a bunch of other businesses as well, but the airline business is particularly hard hit. Airlines, hotels, cruise ships, I think are the three toughest.
I think that's right. I think that's right. What can I help you with?
Just eager to talk with you about whatever you want to talk about.
You know, I'm kind of in a place where I think there's an enormous amount of opportunity. You know, I think that right now everyone's got to kind of settle into their realities. You know, I think they have to cross their T's and dot their I's. But for me, all I want to talk about is offense and optimism.
That's such a great message. I think it's going to reshuffle the deck. I think the people that are the most creative, have the most ingenuity, are best grounded in principles. I've just written this book called The Entrepreneurial Leader, which I think is going to be required of everyone, is to be more entrepreneurial. More presiders, no more managers, no more administrators. It's really going to require leaders to be entrepreneurial.
And that goes in my mind as creative. You've got to just rethink. You know, the status quo is extremely dangerous when innovation is required. And this moment requires enormous innovation, rethinking, and most of all, humility. Many are gonna struggle going back into the world and not having the same amount of money, the same amount of status, the same amount of cush opportunity. You know, organizations that go from 800 to 437 are gonna require all 437 to work, where at 800, they had the fat to get away with being in meetings.
Yep. I think that's exactly right. I think it's going to require a lot of things of people. One of the things that I think leaders are going to have to do better is communicate more directly, bad news as well as good news, before, during, and after the fact. I actually think it's going to require people to be kinder.
I think that's right.
I don't think people don't think about that, but I think there are a lot of people who are vulnerable. And I think a word of kindness, you know, dropping somebody a note, giving them a call, checking up on them, making sure they're okay. And I think volunteering, I've given blood a couple of times. I'm scheduled to give blood another time here. And I think you kind of lose yourself in helping others. I think that's a good way to get through these kinds of crises.
I think that's right, my friend. I really appreciate you being on.
Yeah, my pleasure.
Yeah, have a great, great day, Joe.
All right, take care. Right, bye now.
Thanks, man. Let's keep it going.
What's going on, Gary? How you doing?
Good, Will. I'm doing quite well. Appreciate you being on.
Appreciate you, brother. So I have a bit of a question specific to my situation now, but it makes sense to give you a bit of a backstory. So I'm 38. I'm from Toronto, Canada. I had just shy of a 10-year run at finance. I built up a career in finance. I guess did fairly well. I could have swore I was happy, making good money, low stress. About 2 years ago, I sort of questioned everything. You know, sort of just hit me like a ton of bricks. Like, what am I doing? What makes me happy? Long story short, I decided to quit. My passion is audio engineering, something I've always wanted to do. Mixing records, working in the studio. So I pulled the trigger. I did it, not knowing how it was going to pan out because I had no preparation. I didn't have any friends in the industry. I had no basis to go on. I was really on my own on this one. And like nobody in my circle really understood my situation. It was sort of like everybody.
It's the easiest situation to understand. You decided to choose happiness over being content, safe, and having some money.
Right. I mean, my wife thought I was crazy at first. My friends thought I was crazy.
You weren't happy. Will, I think it's crazy that 98% of the people that watch this don't do that shit.
Mm-hmm. I think so too.
I think you were awake and realized.
I could have swore I was happy. I mean, it's almost like
you were happy in the consciousness, but in the subconscious you weren't.
Right.
You were happy in the practical. You were happy in what you have been taught as a 38-year-old is winning. You were happy in the fake.
Right.
You know you weren't happy. You know at 34 on a nap, or 32 on driving to work, or 37 on during a shower, that quick thought passed through your head.
For sure.
Jumping at 38 means that you've been building since 28 to that moment.
Maybe.
Definitely. I'm telling you, little moments, not like every day at 28. At 28, you're like, yeah, I got that money, you know. But I promise you, it was chipping away.
Mm-hmm. For sure. So I did it. Now, maybe we can get into maybe a strategic play into where I'm at now.
Sure.
But I'm almost more passionate about what it's crazy because I'm passionate about what I'm doing now. But I mean, it just leads me to wonder how many people are actually in that state that I was in.
Everybody.
I think I'm almost as passionate about helping people maybe realize that. Maybe, you know, I want to pursue my passion.
Will, you have a lot of legs to stand on.
Right.
You did it. Right. You know, one of the reasons I love being a known entrepreneur in this game right now is because I actually did it. And a lot of the known entrepreneurs are just talking about being entrepreneurs. Mm-hmm. So, you know, they're making their money selling people on how to make money, not they've ever actually made some. So the fact that you have the balls to do it and the strength and the inner strength to do it is going to be massively inspirational. I would argue that you need to be careful that you're not going down that path because you think there's more money in it than the audio engineering thing. So you've got to balance that. And you got to ask yourself, am I looking to do that because there's dollars in selling people to do that? Or is that actually my passion? Or is it because the audio engineering thing doesn't have the finances in the first 5 years that I may have been accustomed to? That's a real next challenge for you in your own dome.
For sure. Okay, so maybe we can get into maybe a strategic place to where I'm at now. So basically, when I quit, I didn't know how this was going to pan out. I didn't, like I said, I didn't have any connects in the industry. I've sort of been building myself over the last year to really get honed in on my craft and build my chops. I think early on, I started the whole promotion thing. Like I set up a website and it didn't take me very long to figure out like, oh shit, this is an art form. Like this is going to take me a bit of time to really, you know, master. And I think I'm sort of getting there. It's been a year and a half now. And I think I'm ready to start promoting and start like, I'm building a portfolio. I've got some clients now. It's definitely kind of lining up, but I think up until now, I haven't done the whole social media thing just because I didn't want to do it prematurely. Okay. I didn't want to sell something and not deliver. So what's the strategic play? Like, I mean, what, besides free content, I mean, there's so many people around.
Yeah, but that's actually the game. You know, there's a lot of people that are audio engineers too.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of people that went into the finance industry too. This is not, the supply and demand of content is not the issue. The ability to deliver value to somebody on the other side is the issue.
Mm-hmm.
The way so to I deliver.
I've sort of been hesitant because I mean, like I said, it is an art form. It takes a.
But you could have documented the journey of becoming there. Like you could have been a huge inspiration. Yeah, you know, I don't know how long you've been watching me, but the document over creating is a big thing. I would argue that your journey in that first 18 months of going from zero and quitting to becoming an audio engineer was some of the best content you could have ever put out. You know, expertise audio engineering content could be more commoditized than being 38 and jumping into, or 36 or whatever the math was, and jumping into your passion. So, you know, there's always opportunities to bring value as a content creator for everybody who's watching if they stay in their truth and they play out the snowflake game, which is like we're all unique. And I think what I'm the best in the world at is being 100% me.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you, Will, being 100% you and telling those stories and showing the crappy content versus, you know, the audio work versus the good work, like I think there's power in that. And then people become aware of you, and awareness is branding, which leads to buying. We don't buy Coca-Cola or Nike because they sold us. We just know it and we buy it. And then we figure out if we like it.
Right. Okay. No, I appreciate that, Gary.
You gotta put out content, bro. Put out the content. Just start talking.
All right, bro. I appreciate it. Thanks for everything.
I'm glad you picked that up. I can tell you picked that up. Thank you. Take care.
Bye bye.
It's coming in, Kaylin. Some grays, but yeah, who knows? No one knows. Crystal Mays, what's good? Cassandra Bright, thank you for being here. Samantha Waters, love it. Thank you for being here. Let's keep it going.
Hey, Gary.
Hey, Karen.
Corinne, actually.
Corinne. Sorry.
Yes. No, you're fine. Couple of questions. Bear with me. I'm a little bit nervous. Big fan of yours. I listen to you all the time. I'm actually looking for advice or strategies on getting away from codependency in business. Okay. So I've restarted my life completely about a year ago. I left my first career and I'm chasing my desires now, working in a luxury real estate market. And I don't know a lot about real estate. So I joined a team and I met some amazing people that were helping guide me through. But I kind of went off on my own, although I don't have that confidence anymore. So I find myself really trying to rely on other people in order to get where I need to be.
That's a mistake.
Yeah, I know. Right.
You know, like, I think what you need to do is realize it's okay that you don't know anything. You're just starting.
Right.
You know, like, you're in the, you need to put this into the learning. You need to make this the learning process, not the dependency process. Like, do you not enjoy the fact that they have leverage on you? Do you not enjoy the fact that you have self-doubt? Like, you're gonna learn it. Yeah, but what, are you supposed to fucking know it immediately?
No, right. Well, I wanna be able to have educated conversation because these are individuals who are not, it's not like buying a brand new home and you have to, you know, explain something. This is a secondary market. So people who are generally looking for luxury are a lot more advanced in their knowledge.
But people buy from people, Corinne.
Right, yeah.
As somebody who spends a lot of time with, you know, individuals who, you know, buy homes in secondary markets, like they oftentimes know what they want more than what the real estate agent, even after 20, you know what I mean, talking about? Like the real estate agent is really just on a trust game, and do they like them?
Mm-hmm.
And the education on the data is, here are the comps of what the home sold for. Like, it's not like, you know, like people that are in affording a second home have oftentimes are in a place where they've made good decisions. They're either made really good decisions, they really know what the fuck they're talking about, or they're complete hucksters and they're about to lose everything at some point in the next 10 years and actually don't give a fuck about anything but looking cool and doing their thing. So I would argue with you that secondary home real estate macro DNA is actually even more about people skills and the things that you need to learn. I mean, I've watched my sister become highly more educated over the last two years in her real estate journey, and she started at zero and was concerned about it. I think you're making a mountain out of a molehill.
Okay. Well, so this kind of leads into my other thing. What you were saying about it's more of a people skill. I've actually had a couple of individuals in the small town reach out to me that want me to do promotional brand ambassador. They've presented some opportunities for that, and I'm fearful to stretch myself too thin because I'm wanting to pursue this luxury market, but then I have a garage who's wanting to get me out there and do some promoting for them to get more business. And then I have
what a CBD. What does that mean, promoting? Do you have a big following or?
No, I don't. That's what's wild to me.
They think
I don't
look the part?
I'm assuming.
Yeah.
I'm assuming.
I mean, look, that's up to you. That just comes down to, are the economics interesting for you right now in the short term? What I would tell you is you need to be careful because you don't want to dilute your brand. And when I hear a CBD company and garage, like, I want to, you know, you need to decide if you want to be model life or if you want to be real estate agent. And by the way, you can do both. It all just depends on, do you feel good about the association?
Okay.
You know, every time you're putting yourself there, like, you're associating. And so you need to be very...
My image.
Yeah, and so, yes, your image for sure. You know, number two, you need to make sure you believe in the business. What if, God forbid, the business is bullshit and, you know, and
I'm associated with
it. You're associating gets dragged down.
Right.
Now, on the flip side, I never judge people's short-term financial needs, right? So... Mm-hmm. It's always a friction point. Like, is that $5,000 more important than the long-term brand association? But because the real estate thing will be patience, plus I'm sure you're no dope, you realize that second home buying may be slowing down a little bit here for a little while.
Yeah, definitely.
So definitely. These are all the navigations, but you get to make those decisions. Just go into making those decisions with eyes wide open.
So do you have a suggestion on finding appropriate mentors in this situation? Because this is new to me. I came from the medical field where people were telling me, do this, do this, do this, and we'll pay you. Now I'm in a position where I kind of get to figure it out myself. And I don't know how.
Mentors tend to be bad because mentors 85% of the time give advice that worked for them.
Okay.
And so, be careful of that because mentors like to give the blueprint that they took. And so I think what you need to do is just consume information, but you also just have to make decisions and taste it. I promise you this, no, you know, brand deal with something is gonna forever kill your brand. So right. Don't let what I said earlier scare you. Mm-hmm. I just want you to be thoughtful because once you go down that rabbit hole, you could be doing 27 deals later and now your brand's diluted.
Right.
And then the friction of transitioning may be a little bit more difficult, or you just might get caught up in the hamster wheel of the quote unquote easier money.
And that's what I'm trying to avoid. I don't want to just become another, you know, promo model for just anything at this point. I want to have it all laid out, especially for my luxury.
But you can do both, you know, and you can evolve, you know, mm-hmm. J-Lo, Tyra Banks, you know, they start in one place. J-Lo's a dancer on In Living Color. Now she's an entrepreneurial global icon.
Right, absolutely.
So you're young enough to pull it all off. So what I would say is be thoughtful, but okay. Don't be fearful.
Okay.
Got it?
Got it. Thank you, Gary.
Bye, Gary. All right, let's keep it going. Vin, what's good?
Gary, what's up, man?
I'm super well, brother.
So I'll jump right into it. I'm the kind of person who likes to have like a couple different projects going at once. So I definitely want to ask you about one. And then if you have like 30 seconds at the end for the other one, that would be awesome. If not, no worries. Quick backstory. It's a little out of left field, but I run an online community for people that are on what's called a low oxalate diet. It's not a diet in like the weight loss sense. It's more out of medical necessity. So you'd follow it if you had certain type of kidney stone or kidney issues. Some people with Crohn's disease and some other GI issues, and a few other health conditions. So in my Facebook group, I've just been like answering questions and creating resources for people for a couple of years. I do want to start monetizing, but I don't want to be a dick about it. I'm trying to like put the pieces to a revenue model together. And
I got something for you, Ben.
Okay.
A, your hair is fucking amazing.
Thank you.
B, I think it's access.
Okay.
What I mean by that is, you want to sell information. You know that selling information 8 out of 10 times is quite douchey online. If you layer access and do what I'm doing with you right now for 2 hours a week for anybody that buys the program, I think you can amortize out the concern that you're just selling information that they could in theory find, but you curated it for them, add more value to it. All of a sudden it goes from a $17 book to a $200 a month thing because they're getting 8 hours of you doing Q&A with the group. I think access is the layer that makes it much more palpable.
Okay. So the thing is, I think that like the basics are like, there's a lot of crappy information out there. So like what I'm doing is kind of like sorting through it and like putting all the good stuff together. And then I feel like if people wanted to like, if they wanted access, they could get most of the information that they need up front.
Access is to you.
Right.
Spending time with you.
Right. That's what I'm saying. So I think they would spend like an hour or two with me, like one or two sessions maybe. And then that would be like enough. And then after that, what most people want is just recipes. So
I think recipes are findable. They can go on Google too. They're going to drop off eventually.
That's the thing. They can't find any for this diet because there's nothing out there. Like there's a little bit out there, but it's very inaccurate and it's all disorganized.
Listen, you're more than welcome to go content only subscription. Those things tend to peter out.
Right.
Layering, not individual people, bro, 2 hours a week period for all 800 people that are in the program.
Okay.
Got it? Yep. I'm not talking about 54 people getting 2 hours each. I'm talking, give me 2 hours a week on top of what your plan is. When yep. everybody comes into the room and you bring people in like I'm doing here, and I promise you, you'll build a substantially bigger business.
Okay, cool. And so I started a podcast too, having some scientists come on, people that do research. I'm going to try and get a couple MDs. And then I'm also thinking about having chefs on. I already did one with one chef where she brought some of her recipes and then we kind of modified them like to this diet. What do you think about that, and like having and like other kinds of people to have on the podcast?
Yes.
Just keep doing that?
Yes.
Cool.
What's the name of your podcast? People want to know.
It's called Low Oxalate Kitchen.
Low Oxalate Kitchen.
Yeah. So I just started it. I just recorded the first three episodes. I'm going to upload the first one like this week, probably.
ASAP, bro.
ASAP. Yeah. It's coming. It's coming. All right. So then, one other question, completely unrelated. You remember that coin that Ryan Holiday gave you, the one that says Memento Mori?
Yes.
So, I have one of the other ones that he made, the one that says the obstacle is the way. But when my girlfriend saw that I had it, it was like sort of during like a little bit of a rough patch she was going through. She's had some struggles, been through some shit. So I explained to her what it was, and she was like, oh shit, well, like I want one. So, but she wanted one with more of like a self-love, mindfulness, comforting kind of vibe. And she's a meditation teacher. So she was like, oh, people could probably meditate with it too. So long story short, we ended up making some, and I want to start like, reaching out to people on Instagram or wherever, really, like start sending out DMs, but I'm not sure like which people to like to target and like what exactly to say to like to get them to be into it, you know?
Target people with something contextual to them, tell them that you admire them and you want to send it to them, and recognize one out of every 87 people that DM you will take it.
And then what if I just send it, like should I like, you know, ask them to post about it, or just send it and forget it?
The second you ask them to post about it, you've lost.
Right. So just send it, and then that's it. All right.
And then, so one out of 87 will reply.
Yep.
One out of every 9 will actually post it in their feed. 2 out of every 9 will post it in their story, and that's your business. Their awareness is worth way more than your fucking coin.
Right.
Like me posting something in my fucking main feed, my dad fucking picked up 25,000 followers last night.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you know, that's worth, you know, worth in ad money. If you spent it on Instagram to get the same thing to happen, is worth hundreds of thousands of dollars. I don't want your fucking coin.
Yeah.
So you have to be empathetic. You know, like people are always like, oh, they don't fucking post. I'm like, they don't want your fucking $8 tee. They don't want your $9 hat. They don't want your fucking coin. But if you write something contextual, and if it hits them, you've got something a little more soulful, you might be able to convert some stuff. And that's one way to market, which is influencer marketing for free, or you can offer to pay, or you can run ads. There's a million different things you can do, but you can't be mad at the fucking influencer to not post it when their value of it is so much greater than the free fucking thing they gave it. It's like that guy yesterday on the show was like, hey, I'm gonna give you two things, and then can you give me something? Hey, did you know the Roman numeral fucking 5 was V? Yes, I did. Hey, something other horseshit. And then he's like, now can you record something I can put on the front of my podcast, which will help me fucking build my show?
Right.
That was a fucking joke. I did it because I'm a good dude, but that wasn't like an epic fucking exchange. That was me fucking doing charity.
Right. All right. Cool.
Cool.
Awesome. Thank you, brother. Appreciate
it. Take care, my bro. Yep. Really enjoying Tea with Gary Vee this morning. Just always enjoying the show with everybody. Real quick, Dustin on the back end, pop in and say hello. They always love you. Dust, can you get the name of our Facebook group? I think everybody on Tea with Gary Vee should join that on Facebook. Like, so can you talk to the team? I mean, is that the first in line group? Like, is that closed bait? Like, can you talk to the team on the back end?
First in line is closed. I know that.
Okay. Is there another Facebook group? I'm like, oh,
I mean, there's the Gary page and there's the Gary V video experience, but it's mainly just.
I don't have an open group.
I'm not sure.
I'm a little confused. Can you hit up the team? Let's keep moving.
Yep.
Gary, what's going on, brother?
What's up, Jimmy?
Not much, man. Just super grateful for everything that you do. So my question basically is that I play and coach baseball. So the back end of that is I played all through college my whole life, everything. Had a really successful college career, was All-American, All-Conference, the whole nine. But then I figured I might as well do what I should do, right? And I went and worked a corporate job, fucking crushed it, but was massively unfulfilled. So I said, fuck that. Sold my car, took a one-way flight to Southeast Asia and just traveled for a while. Then I came back and was like, I missed the game, started coaching, started training, and within a matter of months, signed a professional contract to go to France.
For you.
And then with all that, basically coronavirus happened. My flight was supposed to be 2 weeks ago. So now I'm just kind of trying to figure it out. But in the meantime, during COVID, I've built a pretty decent but really targeted audience around baseball, over 22,000 followers on TikTok. All thanks to you, because you've been screaming out the fucking top of the mountaintops.
Like fucking yelling.
Yeah, you've been yelling, bro. So anything else that you say, anything you're fucking yelling, I'm going to do it. All in challenge, bought. Fucking
thank you.
Multiple.
Thank
but you my question is
which raffles did you buy into?
I bought into yours and I bought into Michael Rubin's. I mean, those are both just like ridiculous value. Ridiculous. You're fucking kidding me, bro?
Bro, you might want to buy at least one ticket for $10 on the Cuban one. You could literally be in an NBA game.
Gnarly. Yeah, my I just got tenacious defense, though. The jumper is not there. It's not so there. Like,
they're just going to let you in at the last minute of the game and everyone's going to hug you and then exactly. You're going to pull you back out. So
I love that. But my question is now that I've kind of built this targeted audience, I'm struggling with what do I do next? Is it too late to get in the podcast game? YouTube, Twitch, like I'm on TikTok. Yes, I'm on TikTok live right now. Yeah, and I've been playing MLB The Show and they're like, hey, you need to make Twitch. So I've done that in the last week and built that over 100 followers, got subs going and stuff on that. I've just been listening to the audience.
All in.
All in. So
Jimmy, all of it.
Yes. The answer is yes, right?
The answer is yes. The answer is you're a young man. It's always the right time to jump in. You didn't miss YouTube. You didn't miss TikTok. I've been yelling about TikTok for 4 years, Musical.ly, then TikTok. Like, you didn't miss Instagram. It gets harder to get big bases. TikTok's the only place you can go to 22K like that. Only place.
Absolutely.
But the reality is going nice and slow on Twitch 100 at a time or on YouTube 100 at a time is good too. Because don't forget, it's not how many subscribers you have. It's the right subscriber.
Absolutely.
Like one executive at the MLB Network sees you and the next thing you know, you're signing an $800,000 contract to be on TV. Or a high net worth father who thinks his three boys are the next coming of the Alus, you know, and they're it's not how many subscribers you have, it's which subscribers you have.
Yeah, true fans. Absolutely.
Not only true fans, the one person that can change your life by reaching out.
Yeah.
You're a good looking dude. Somebody might just reach out to you and be like, I want you on TV.
Appreciate that.
You're welcome,
bro. But and if you have time for one more question,
real fast.
I understand that it definitely is the long game, but how would you recommend about going about potentially getting brand deals on TikTok, especially with baseball being a super traditionalist?
Not yet. I get it. You probably have a need for money and different things of that nature, but I promise you, you have to. I'd rather you sell that Kobe and Jordan thing on fucking eBay right now. Like
fuck
you
that.
Have to. Respect. But listen to me, sell those fucking candles. Like, I don't give up, sell your hoodie. Do not go for brand deals. Keep building to the audience so they have more leverage. People go in for the brand deal too early. It fucks them up. It changes the relationship. Their energy goes to brand deals instead of making great content and they get fucking killed.
Gotcha. Hey, thank you so much. Like I said, super grateful for everything that you do. Take care.
Take care of yourself. All right, let's keep this going. You knew I was going to mention that Jordan thing, Ryan. I know you knew. Benjamin, what's good? Your audio is not fixed. Somebody just wrote TikTok is a young audience email recipient. It's young. It's gotten ridiculously older in the last 3 months, and it will continue to get older, just like every platform. Facebook was only college kids, to remind you. Now it's only grandmas. Talk to me, Benjamin. Still audio.
Ben, try reloading the page and then coming back in.
First in line group is closed. Da, 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 great advice. Da, da. TikTok looks so much older now. It is. It already is. TikTok is growing faster than Insta. Chris B, what's good? Anthony Davis, what's good? Stephen Richards, what's good? Martin Joe, Gabriel Acosta. Go to the next one, Dustin, if we can't. Or now we got Benjamin. Benjamin?
Hey, Gary. Sorry about that.
No worries, brother.
Hey, man. So I feel really late to the game as far as all this social media stuff goes. You know,
early. Early in the game, Benjamin.
Really?
I mean it, bro. I mean it. I'm sorry to cut right in. Like,
No, you're just, I appreciate
you're just,
that.
You're just not.
Mm, okay.
Like, because it's not. I don't know what else to fucking say. You know, like, Charlie D'Amelio, you know, explodes since August and is like one of the most famous people in the world, kind of, in the U.S. right now. And she started her TikTok account in, like, fucking July. Like,
that's good to hear.
I mean, you could start a LinkedIn account right now. What do you do?
I'm a trumpet player. I'm a professional musician, so.
Bro, you have to get on TikTok yesterday. I need you to do me a favor. That's huge. I'm telling you right now, my daughter and her friends think dentists are cool because I'm being dead serious. My daughter, who's 10, hit me up 6 months ago. She's like, Gary, Dad, you need to be friends with this dentist on TikTok. Dentist. So
okay.
So I think, have you looked at TikTok yet?
Yeah, I've like browsed it for like 10, 15 minutes before.
Okay, Benjamin, we're gonna change your life right now. I'm not even kidding. Wow, I want man. You to spend 5 to 10 hours consuming TikTok. I need you to look at everything. What that will do is get you into the mindset of what's working on there. You'll see things you can do, you see things you can't do. I can't dance, I can't do the pop and top, like fucking shit. So I don't dance, but I can do other things. I'm telling you right now, 5 to 10 hours, start your TikTok, make 3 TikToks a day, 3. We're in quarantine, the fucking, like, do other things, jump on trends, use other music. You are going to be blown away. You watch the last person doing baseball shit. I'm telling you, TikTok. I'm telling you.
And is it the type of thing where I really just do what matters to me, or is it kind of trying to follow the trend? A little bit of both?
Both. Yes, comma, if you see something that feels natural, right? So I'll show you my latest TikTok. Very natural to me. Ready? Here we go. Ready? Let me start it over because everybody's to see it.
Yeah, no booty shaking. I see that.
No booty shaking, right? And, you know, 600,000 views later because it's on trend to a Meg Thee Stallion song that we could post edit with what I have. And I'm telling you right now, you will completely, I think a trumpet player is like in the perfect pocket to, and not a 15-year-old trumpet player. You, I'm telling you right now, it will work.
And is TikTok something that monetizes over time? Because I don't really understand. I see how YouTube
monetizes over time. You know what else monetizes over time? When a fucking dad fucking DMs you on TikTok and says, I need to have you for my bar mitzvah because every fucking 13-year-old in the world wants you, and now you're making $40,000 like a fucking rapper at a bar mitzvah.
It's deep. I like that.
It's smart.
Yeah, and I mean, for me, it's really not about the money, but I need freedom and comfort. You know?
I respect the shit out of it, bro.
I love making music and playing. So
bro,
I'm trying
you're gonna
to
make
find ways
you're gonna
to...
make $10,000 a bar mitzvah. We're gonna literally clip. You're gonna literally in 18 months, if you listen to me and go completely all high am, you're gonna literally make a video that's gonna go viral that I make $10,000 now at a bar mitzvah, and I'm gonna take this video clip in 18 months on whatever the TikTok or Instagram is and do my split screen recall where I fucking gave you the blueprint and changed your fucking life. I'm 100% positive.
Man, thank you.
10 hours of consumption today. Hang up all day. I don't want to fucking hear from you until. Read it all. Watch it all. Get the trends out. Learn it cold. And then make a fucking trumpet TikTok tonight.
Okay.
I mean, I promise you.
And is it important to integrate with other platforms? I mean, I've done nothing. I've
TikTok.
No YouTube.
TikTok.
Yeah, just take focus
Start
on that.
There.
Okay.
It's the place where I think you will explode. It's also the place where I think you'll monetize. I genuinely think you're fucking playing bar mitzvahs.
I've played a couple bar mitzvahs, but not for 10 grand.
How much do you get paid?
I mean, usually about $300 to $400 for a good gig. That's normal.
$10,000.
Wow. Okay.
Get 1 million followers on TikTok and watch that first DM come through. I promise.
And it's going to open up educational opportunities as well, because I like to teach. So, I mean, I want people to contact me for the
TikTok.
Information I have. Yeah. Thank you.
10 hours in there. First of all, you're gonna enjoy it because it's still a fun, happy, silly place. So it's just gonna be nice.
Mm-hmm.
Better than the shit you see in the other platforms. And two, you're gonna make something. You're gonna fucking make something. And it's gonna fucking suck. Or you're a natural and it's gonna rock. I don't know, but you gotta fucking start going.
But it doesn't have to be all really geared towards my musical pursuits, or I can do eclectic stuff as well.
You should do everything. Better? No, mix it all. But I do think you could be the trumpet guy of TikTok. I do.
Okay. That's
deep. If you fucking play the trumpet of the songs that are trending on TikTok, you will win.
Mm-hmm.
You show a little personality, yeah. You do a little stuff. Like, you will win, bro.
I appreciate this, Gary. Thank you.
Good luck. Ryan, telling you right now, if I was born in this country, I would be running for president. I would fucking win. Just so there's no... Yes, Dustin.
I just wanted to say that that was really smart, the whole play the trending songs. Like, I see that all the time.
It fucking work.
Yeah.
And the monetization, like, people can make pennies on YouTube, but if they're smart and their business, like I just told him, win every 13-year-old's heart, you'll be doing bar mitzvahs and sweet 16s to your fucking... You'll be making $1 million a year if you're right. The trumpet guy of TikTok.
Yeah, like I remember when you said on Joe Rogan, like how come, like Joe Rogan was like saying, I'm not making money off Instagram, but then you're saying, no, you're making money off doing your stand up and all this. Like, it's the other things that people aren't thinking about.
People want to be literal with people yeah. are transactional. I'm brand.
Yeah.
Everyone out here thinks they're a marketer. They're a fucking salesperson. I'm a marketer. Get out of here. Let's keep going.
Hi, Gary.
How are you, my friend? How do you pronounce your name?
It's Joey.
It is Joey. I thought so. I like the way it's spelled. Yeah. Love that. How are you, Joey?
You. Good. First of all, I want to thank you for being you and everything you do. And I wanted to tell you a little bit about my past. It's like I studied accounting and finance, and growing up, I didn't have a dream or I didn't know what I wanted to do with my life. Basically, I was struggling finding a purpose for myself. So I just wanted to become an actor after finishing up accounting and finance. And so my question is, how do I pursue my dream to be an actor? And like without having anyone like to back me up? And also, how do I set my priorities? For example, like I have debts for OSAP from studying, right? Like coming out of school, I'm at a point where like, I can't afford to take courses to help me grow.
Well, you're definitely
acting
not.
Acting wise, we're but not, at the same we're time, not, since not, I started.
Yeah, go ahead. Keep going.
No, I was going to say, since I started thinking about acting, it's like the law of attraction. It's like what you think comes your way. And it's been happening. Like I've been meeting the right people with the right connections and so on. But it's just like reality keeps pulling you through. It's like I came to the realization, like I need money. I need to be able to sustain myself first to be able.
Yep. Where do you live?
So I've been, excuse me?
Where do you live?
I live in Toronto. Canada.
And you're a Canadian citizen?
No. Well, yeah, I am. No, yeah. I've been here for 11 years.
So, look, I think the trickiest one is deploying the patience and the balance of paying for your life and your debt off while chasing a dream. And the reality is, by making the decisions you made to collect debt for something you didn't love, that was... In essence, unfortunately, and it is for a lot of people, and it ended up being a quote unquote potentially wrong decision, which is okay. There's nothing wrong with that. What happens when that happens, though, is it has to take longer, right? It has to take longer. Yeah. So the reality is back to your law, it's not the law of attraction. It's not like the cosmos all of a sudden, you know, decided to put it down on you. It's that you're putting yourself in a position for those things to happen because you're thinking about it more, right? And so the reality is what happens now when you've made a decision that is a one step backwards, now every minute has to be audited. You know, every minute has to be audited, meaning you need to put yourself in a place where you're looking at every minute you're spending on the weekends and nights and deploying that against behavior that lets you get to your dream.
I understand. So, also, I wanted to ask in terms of recommendation, like for being out there, should I get into TikTok and Instagram as well?
What do you think I'm going to say?
Well, you're going to say yes, but I mean, like, in terms of course,
like, yeah. People get discovered. Some of the all the kids that were on Vine early and exploded are acting in movies. It already happened, Joey. It already happened. It was called Vine.
But the thing is, for me, like, I'm more interested in, like I think I figured out my purpose, and I know what I want to do with my life. Like, acting is, like, my dream. But what I want to do also is, like, I want to do it for a purpose, which is to move people's hearts, like, change their emotions.
So make fucking content. I'm changing people's emotions and hearts right now. It's free. Just do it. Stop talking about it. Start doing it. You got it.
But like, what kind of content?
I don't know.
That's the question.
If you don't know how to fucking change and move people's hearts, then you're not going to change people's minds and hearts. Like, what kind of, whatever the fuck you want. Like, whatever you want to talk about. Like, changing people's minds and hearts comes with ideas and the ability to articulate them. You can do that in the written word. Hemingway fucking did it in the written word, right? Like, you can do it in a million different ways. Audio, video, you know, written. The ways to communicate have been well established. This is more getting out of doubt and getting into clarity and fucking executing.
I understand.
You know what I mean? Like you just have to do. You have to make. There is no perfect. Okay. This is about insecurity.
I understand. For the so you'd recommend someone to pay off their debts first and pursue their dream, or do both at the same time?
Same time, parallel.
Both.
It doesn't cost you. Don't do what you did that put you in trouble. When I heard you say acting school or lessons, people want to pay to be taught, which actually means they don't want to do. You don't need acting fucking lessons. Fucking just act on TikTok. Make skits. Don't pay somebody to make yourself feel like you're doing it. Do it. I appreciate it, brother. Dustin, let me wrap this up. Thanks, Joey. Listen, to everybody, do you know how many people fucking pay for courses to make themselves believe they're doing it when they're not doing it? Just do. Fucking make. Fuck. Great show. All in challenge. Please support it. We're going to end this with my auction. And then, of course, I didn't put in the plug yet. If you haven't done this yet, just fuck you. If you haven't signed up for fucking Wine Text, honestly, if you buy fucking wine and you haven't signed up for Wine Text, I'm going to make it less confusing. Yo, fuck you. Like, what are we doing out here? Like, why in the world would you buy wine from somebody besides my dad? On some real shit. Especially when it's the best fucking service in the world. On some real shit. Fuck. I'm just kidding, but I'm not. Love you guys. Jewel, thanks for starting off the show. Dustin, you like that? What? It was good, right? I don't get it. Like, obviously I get it if you're an international. I get if you're in Illinois or Texas or Utah and Michigan, you can't buy from Wine Text because we can't ship to every state. But if you're in New York, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, and you buy wine, if you're in Florida and Virginia and California, come on. Like, why would you buy wine anywhere else, Dustin? You get educated, you get your palate expanded. Today we have a fucking wine that's $22. That's under $11. $10 and change. It's the best fucking white, like crazy white wine. I don't get it. I'm mad. Like Donna Doherty better sign up. I'm mad. Like this $11, $10 and 70 something cents wine we're gonna sell today is better than every $20 Sauvignon Blanc or Sancerre or fucking Riesling that people buy. And like, they're gonna go to fucking Publix or have the local liquor store deliver. Like, it makes no fucking sense to me. Dustin, your parents drink wine?
No, I brought them empathy. Like, they had some of it, but like, they don't drink wine that much.
I respect that. Yeah, if you don't drink wine, it's good. But like, Dana, we ship to Arizona. Please go to winetext.com right now when we hang up. Please, it would mean a lot to me. Please sign up. Like, come on. All right, and all in challenge, please donate to it. Here is what I'm offering. Go buy a $10 raffle ticket, and I can spend an entire year with you doing all of this crazy shit. I am giving away the ultimate Gary Vee experience. How should that go? Okay. Over the last week or so, I've been jamming with my friend Michael Rubin and helping out on this all-in challenge that I am accepting right now. But allinchallenge.com, please go there. We are challenging some of the greatest artists, entertainers, athletes in the world to provide a ridiculous all-time experience or one of their most iconic items in their collection to help raise money to help feed the hungry during this ridiculous time. And so now I have to put up my auction. So my auction, the ultimate Gary Vee experience. Here we go. I'm going to go off the top of the head. And you can go on allinchallenge.com to go bid on this. I am giving away, okay, you get to, in the course of a year, you will go garage sailing with me and film Trash Talk. Also, you're going to get a workout with me and Mike Vacanti. So I know a lot of you pay attention to that part of my world. Also, we're going to go to Wine Library and do a $25,000 shopping spree. That's right. I'm going to pay my dad. Well, I'm going to donate. We're going to pay my dad $25,000. So $25,000 shopping spree at Wine Library. I will walk through the whole store with you, tell you the war stories, and you'll buy a bunch of wine, beer, liquor, whatever you want, food. We are going to go to a Jets game together. You're going to tailgate with me. I never do this. When I give away Jets tickets, I never let the person sit with me. So you will sit with me during the Jets game. I won't talk to you during the game. I'm completely focused, but you'll get that. So the ultimate Jets experience, tailgate, full game with me as well. Also, I'm going to give you 1 week play at VaynerMedia. So this is for you and a plus one, by the way. So the two tickets, we'll do some plus ones, we'll do some just me and you, depending on what it is. One full week at VaynerMedia, getting consulting and business advice from Team Gary Vee and me for the entire week, hanging out in the pit where the show's done. You're going to be a guest of my podcast. We're going to do a wine dinner for you and seven of your friends at Hunt and Fish Club in New York City. And I'm going to fly you all paid plus one to three of my keynotes. And we'll work on those details. The ultimate Gary Vee experience. I hope you bid on it. I hope you get involved. I hope we raise a lot of money to help people that need it. Also, what's so fun about the All-In Challenge is you get to challenge people to be in it. I am going to challenge all the Vayner Sports athletes. I expect you in there. So that is number one. Number two, I'm going to go with, you know what? Timbaland, the super producer who's completely lighting up Instagram. Timbaland, the super producer, I'm calling you out. And finally, I got one. The Undertaker, one of the great wrestlers of all time. Please join the challenge. Everybody go to allinchallenge.com. Please support this. The experiences are going to be nuts. We've been working bleeding out of the eyeballs for the last week, putting this all together. You're going to be blown away what you're about to see on social media. Hashtag allinchallenge. Please check it out. And please go to your favorite celebrities, athletes, and entertainers and leave hashtag allinchallenge to get them involved. The All-In Challenge. Please. Take it. As we end today's podcast, I want to give a huge shout out to the people. You know, it's so funny. People that leave reviews and written reviews of this podcast on Apple, Spotify, and all the other platforms just mean the world to me. You've taken an extra 13 to 95 seconds to show love and also give context to people of why this is a worthwhile podcast. So I appreciate that so much. And even more fun, because I think we all love a little cosign or a shout out or a little awareness, I'm going to have the team give a couple of shout outs daily on our favorite reviews. So take it away. Which were our favorites this week?
Thanks, Gary. Today's highlighted review goes to "No Doubt He's Changed My Mindset" by Totally Joshing You. Seriously, I listen on and off, and whenever I come back to it, I always wonder why I let myself stop listening. He speaks profound truths that we all need to hear. There hasn't been one episode that left thinking, what a waste of time. I've learned from each podcast, either about myself or business or the culture surrounding us all. He speaks in practical terms about nebulous ideas, and it just makes sense. Need some motivation? Need some guidance? What business tips and tricks? Listen to Gary Vee. You can apply anything he talks about to any part of your life. He's continually helping me grow. Love this dude, and I've never met him. I'm excited to shake his hand and thank him in person one day. Make sure you leave your review wherever you listen to this podcast for a chance to be featured next.